Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, Nats Park, Southeast DC. A lot of ways to listen to the show. If you're on the move, no better way than with radio.com. Download the all-new radio.com app and listen to 106.7 The Fan anytime, anywhere. Every day at noon, we give you a Beltway Blitz. We jam-pack a lot of content information on as many teams as we can into one segment. So plan your lunch break around it. It is time for your Blitz. We'll start things off on the gridiron. Chris Russell's our Redskins insider. Slashy Josh Norman says it's going to be a month before he can return. That would likely mean he'll miss the Eagles. He'll miss the Cowboys after missing San Francisco post-bye. How big of a loss for this defense?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a huge loss, as we saw some of that on Monday night. He might even miss the Seattle road game, kind of depending on what he means by 4 weeks. Does he mean 4 weeks from today? Does he mean 4 weeks from right now or this week to practice or to play? We just don't know the answers to those questions right now. So, he could also miss the Seattle game early November and then return, I think it's November 12th against Minnesota. As we saw the other night, guys, not only do you miss his talent, his feistiness, his competitiveness, his physicality, but they targeted Bashaud Breeland. When Breeland switched over from right corner to left corner, they ran a route with Jason, with Travis Kelce, in which, you know, and Breeland's been good this year, but I mean, he was just torched on that particular route, and that's a tight end. I'm not saying Breeland can't do the job, not saying Dunbar can't do the job, and Fabian Moreau eventually can't do the job, but clearly it is a loss of epic proportions.
No, that's certainly a big one. What about some other guys that are banged up here, Russell? I looked at the schedule initially, I go, oh, the bye week in week four, what a terrible time, week five rather, what a terrible time to have it after only four games. Now I'm thankful it's here. What about some of these other guys that are beat up?
Yeah, I mean, you just start with on offense, right? Rob Kelly, Jordan Reed, and Jamison Crowder. All three of those guys have been banged up. Well, Reed has been banged up all year. Crowder was banged up all training camp and came back, and now has been banged up for the last week and a half, and Kelly's been banged up the last couple of weeks, even in his quote-unquote breakout game. So, I mean, all of these guys need a break. All of these guys need a rest. Trent Williams, Morgan Moses, obviously, every NFL team, guys, as you know, deals with injuries. I personally don't mind the bye, not only because of the injuries, but as I always say, you know, this is week 10 of the Redskins and every NFL team's calendar. They play 6 weeks before the regular season in terms of training camp and four preseason games. So while I would ideally like it maybe another week or so, maybe after week five, I don't think this is bad timing at all.
Chris Russell on the Redskins in the Blitz. More football at 12:45. Matt Fortuna, the All-American, gets us ready for the college weekend. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate it.
Thank you, fellas.
Let's talk some baseball. Chelsea Janes of the Washington Post. Great job covering the Nats all season. And I'm thrilled to have her on the Beltway Blitz on day one of the division series. Chelsea, start with the playoff roster. Surprises for you. Anything interesting?
I think it's interesting that they chose to go with a six-man bench. I'm not surprised to see Victor Robles on this roster, particularly with the way that the Nats have run all over the Cubs. I mean, that feels like a Dave Roberts kind of get you the big base when you need it move. And I think it's interesting that they took four lefties in the bullpen and don't have a long man to back up Scherzer, which I think tells you all you need to know about how they feel about his hamstring and their confidence level in that. So, but other than that, I think they've got a really nice balanced bullpen and bench, and not any major surprises there.
Chelsea, what are we hearing on that hamstring? It's kind of the great mystery. Everybody's telling us how fine everything is, and then he's not pitching Friday. Doesn't look like he's pitching Saturday. They're going to wait until game three for him. What are we hearing about that hammy?
No, that there's something wrong, and they don't want to blow it out. And also, you know, I've heard from multiple people yesterday that if Steven Strasburg's not available, Max Scherzer is pitching a lot sooner than he is. You know, I think you know, part of the fact that he's pitching game three comes from the fact that they can afford to do that. You know, if they don't have Strasburg, Scherzer pushes that hamstring, but they feel like they would rather have Max Scherzer at 95% than 75%, and the injury is minor enough that 2 days make that difference. So, you know, I buy that it's nothing sinister. I also buy that they don't want to blow him out for October by rushing him. So I think game three is what they were comfortable with, and, you know, it doesn't rule him out for an inning or two in game five.
I get the Strasburg thing, but Gio didn't finish the season strong. There was a regression that kind of we all waited for that finally hit at the tail end of the year, and he still had an outstanding season. Is it as simple, though, as if he's not ready in game one, what is several extra hours into game two going to do for him? I mean, why then not let him throw in that second game?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. It's like you're not actually gaining a whole lot by pushing him to game two in terms of health. And I think that they feel like these 2 extra days are a big deal. And they were never going to have somebody go games 1 and 4. You know, it was either going to be someone pitches 1 and 5 or 2 and 5. So if you figure that they felt like Strasburg was ready to pitch 1 and 5, then it's not like you're losing Max when he was going to pitch 2 games anyway, if that makes sense. So I think they just felt like, let's be safe and let's line him up for game one of the NLCS, which you sort of, you know, you can see that for sure.
Chelsea, ultimately this offense wasn't really on fire down the stretch. They hit worse kind of every month as the season progressed. It's to their credit because they were so good that they were on cruise control kind of here. How difficult do you think it is getting it back against a pretty good Cubs pitching staff here? Will they be able to refine it, or is this a replay of 2014 in your mind?
I have confidence that they will. I feel like a lot of what happened down the stretch isn't exactly informative, for better or worse. Maybe they're worse than they looked. Maybe they're better. But the intensity was down. I don't think that they played the same game they'll play tonight. Again, for better or worse, maybe they'll be too pumped up, maybe they won't. But that's a really deep and experienced lineup. When it's whole, these are the first games we'll really see them whole. And, you know, I just think you have every reason to expect more of what you saw earlier in the season than in the second half, when this wasn't the lineup they had in the second half. You know, everybody's back. So we'll see. But, you know, Harper's not going to be the same, so that might make a difference. But I think you can expect more of what you saw early than what you saw late because the personnel is back.
Chelsea Janes, check her out in the Washington Post. She does a wonderful job covering the Nats. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Let's talk some hockey. Speaking of post coverage, Neil Greenberg, analytically one of the top minds in town when it comes to hockey and breaking sports down by the numbers. Neil, last night, here's a number for you. 3 goals from Alex Ovechkin, all were even strength. 18th hat trick. He had 16 even strength goals last year. I guess the columns being written about his demise may have been a little premature.
Without a doubt, this is a player that has defied the aging curve pretty much since his first year in the league. And it's good for Washington because they lost so many goals in the offseason, whether by trade or by free agency. So to see the captain come out and have a hat trick in one period, all at even strength, is great news for the organization that I think was a little bit worried as to where the lost production would come from.
Neil, the only, I guess, downside here is that they let in a bunch of goals as well. Concerns maybe about last night or going forward maybe defensively with this club?
Yeah, the third pairing of Taylor Chorney and Aaron Ness is not great at the beginning, so nor were they expected to be, I don't think. So that's certainly a problem. But the turnover, I mean, Carlson, I wouldn't say had his best game last night. Veteran blue liner had a turnover, led to a goal against. Matt Niskanen had a turnover also. So defensively, big problem. I thought Holtby looked good at times. But, you know, when your defense is not playing well in front of you, it makes the goaltender's job much harder.
You know what I took away from last night? I came into the season expecting Backstrom's line. He's going to be with Burakovsky and Oshie to be their best line. And that wasn't the case last night because Jacob Verana was sensational with Kuznetsov and Ovechkin. Do you think Verana can be that kind of presence with his speed, getting to the net as often as he was? I was blown away by him last night.
Yeah, you mentioned the speed. This kid is fast. I mean, you saw that on the ice last night, and he's willing to go to the front of the net. And if you're going to be playing with Ovechkin, who likes to occupy that left side, especially near the faceoff dot, you're going to be playing with Kuznetsov, who's such a good playmaker. I mean, that's the place to be, if for no other reason, to get the rebounds off of Ovechkin's shot. I mean, if you're in the right place, right time, there's no reason he can't luck's a bad word, but kind of luck his way into a 20-goal season and then add five or more of his own just because he's good. I mean, that's certainly reasonable. But, yeah, I agree with you. This could be a third winger that can play with the two Russians and be very good, especially if he can use that speed to his advantage.
Who's the key on the defensive pairing here? The young player that's got to step into a role. I know you mentioned that third pairing, and you said it's not quite up to NHL standards at this point, but give me somebody that you think will start to play better as the season goes.
I think Brooks Orpik is probably going to be the wild card. I mean, he's the one that's being paired with John Carlson more out of necessity than anything else. He's the one that has to step up his game. And I think, you know, when you look around, we talked about almost every blue liner except for him in an almost negative light. I think that's a good thing. As long as he's not hurting the team, then he can certainly be an anchor in a good way for this defensive squad, especially since he's more of a stay-at-home defenseman. So we'll see. I try not to get too caught up in just one game, but the fact that Brooks Orpik didn't elicit many sad emojis from the fan base is probably good going forward.
That's a good start.
The emoji ratio.
Neil, thank you, buddy. Always good.
Sure thing. Talk to you guys soon.
See you, buddy.
Neil Greenberg, check him out in the Washington Post. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. We got your college football weekend preview with Matt Fortuna at 12:45. Longtime MLB executive and former Nats general manager Jim Bowden's on the show to preview Nats Cubs at 1. Next, let's take your temperature. The Nationals win the series if the Nationals lose the series if. Fill in those blanks on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.